on a kind of a strange day. A little drizzly. It was drizzly from Kerrville to here. Sure wasn't drizzly from Kerrville on up. And we've needed lots of rain up there for a long time, and we got a little bit and felt real good about it, and then we haven't got any more. So anyway, we'll take whatever we can get and thank God for it. But it's kind of one of those overcast, interesting days. And I understand it's supposed to become cold tomorrow, in the low 30s up where I'm at by Monday, tomorrow night. So anyway, I want to share with you out of 1 Samuel. And when we go to places like this, go to the Old Testament. Christians today are not as focused. Our whole thing, and it's rightly so. We're in this time of year, we're focused on the New Testament, and we're beginning to look at, which we'll start doing in this next week. We'll start looking at the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, and so forth as the Lord leads. But this actually ties in because so much of Jesus' coming is tied in with the house of David. And so you can't get around David. And we want to talk about what David, some things we know. Well, let me just read these scriptures, and then we'll get into this. There's things about him that made him like he was. God said he's a man after my own heart. But there were other things that we never look at. And you just start digging and it's saying, whoa, really? And then we can say, well, that's me. That's me. That's me. And you'll see in this guy that he grew up in a very human life, and he went through things growing up that affected his adulthood, just like it does us. And yet God, look how God used him. Look what he did. But it's what made him, besides God's Spirit, what he was, just like you and me. And we're molded by these things, whether we like it or not. And then God's Spirit spends the rest of our lives trying to transform us and deliver us from the junk that's happened to us. You won't have this. I'm just going to read this as an interlude, a prelude to go into 1 Samuel. This won't be up here, so don't just listen to this. But it says that in the book of Acts, of all places, it writes about this. It says they asked for a king. Israel asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, and so forth. And he ruled for 40 years. And when he was removed, God raised up for them David as king, to whom he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do my will. Friends, read that when you get a chance. That's Acts 13, 21 through 22. And God's using Paul and writing the book of Acts to record. Well, he's using the author of the book of Acts. There's some little bit of dispute about that. So I'll just say the author of the book of Acts, to put this in there, out of all, just insert it. And it said, but he said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who'll do my will. That's what God's looking for, and that's what God has put us all here to be, is godly people. That's what I titled this message, is to be people who are after his own heart and who'll do all my will. And friends, we go back and look at Abraham or Moses and all these people. We look at David and we say, well, I can't be like them. We are like them. It's just that they were called to do extraordinary things, and they had those moments of extraordinary walk with God. And of course, Moses, he stands out. But don't forget, it was Moses that murdered a man. He murdered an Egyptian, and he did. The Egyptian did nothing to him, but he killed him. And so don't forget, even Moses, was human, but God uses humans, human people, just people like us, to do extraordinary things. And you can be used of God, and you already have been. You don't even know it, but the influence God's given you. You can be used of God to do the most extraordinary things, the impossible things. We just don't get it. We hold these people up and we look at the apostles, but look at how human they were. We talked about Peter last week. My goodness. But look what God did with him. And he assigned him to be the first pastor and overall the first apostles. What a task. But he did it, and he did it well. And look how human he was. And so are we. So do not discredit yourself, and don't let other people or where you work or anybody, anybody in a church ever tell you that you're not worthy enough or you're not good enough. Neither were they, but God used them anyway. God made them good enough. And God's grace through our faith in Christ makes us good enough. So they asked for this king, and they got Saul, who was a big mistake. Because God didn't want him to have a king in the first place. But the big part there is, after my own heart, he'll do my will. And I did that as just kind of a lead-in. Now, we're in the New Living Translation, and you'll have this. Because now, there's a lot to read, so let me cover it real quick. So I don't want to bore you, but it's interesting stuff. Now, the Lord said to Samuel, and this is 1 Samuel 16. You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. And find a man named Jesse. Boy, an interesting bunch of stuff happens in Bethlehem, doesn't it? Think about that. And that's why you want to know this history and know the stuff that happened here. You know, this is where the anointing of the king took place, and it's where what happened for us with Christ. This is all tied together. And you see the links from the old to the new. It's incredible. So it says, go to Bethlehem and find a man named Jesse who lives there. I have selected one of his sons to be my king. And Samuel asked, and how can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me. And so I'm going to kind of just, you'll have it up here. I'm going to skip through some of this. And he said, just take a heifer with you. The Lord replied and said that you come to make a sacrifice. So he had to do that, but that wasn't his real purpose. And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I'll show you which of his sons to anoint for me. Okay. So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. And he arrived at Bethlehem. The elders of the town came trembling to meet him. What's wrong? They asked, do you come in peace? Do you ever want to, just a note on here, because this won't be in the rest of the text of our notes for the day. But the people were scared to death. You know why? When in those days, when the prophet, the priest, the prophet came, something was usually wrong, and he was there, and they knew if he came, he was there to pronounce some judgment of God on them. So it scared them to death. And he said, no. This is my paraphrasing. There's no problem. And so, you know, do you come in peace? And he said, yes. And Samuel replied, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord, and purify yourselves and come with me. So he did that. He did the sacrifice. They purified for Jesse and his sons and invited him to sacrifice. So this was a way to get Jesse and his sons to the sacrifice. Okay. And when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed right here. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, is that God calling? Okay. And so the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height. And we need to remember these things that God says. The Lord said, don't judge by his appearance or his height. He must have been one tall, big old dude, and for I have rejected him. Now, grab this other part. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. If we would have known this, how many of you could say, if I would have just known this when? Every one of us. You know, don't judge by outward appearance. How many of us have been taken in with this right here? Why didn't somebody tell me this? You know, the Lord judges by the heart. That's why Jesus brought this forward. You see all these parallels, how this works? Jesus brought this forward, and in the same way, what did he say? By their fruits, you'll know them. And he was just speaking the heart of God, telling you the same thing that's said here in a different way. God looks at the heart, and Jesus, that's right. And the way you as people can see it is watch their fruits. Don't judge by the way they look. See how they live. See if they produce fruit. Judge by their character, by what they're really doing, not what they say they're going to do. So this big old strapping guy, nope, God says no. Then Jesse said, told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, this is not the one the Lord has chosen. And next, Jesse summoned Shimeah. But Samuel said, well, neither is this the one. So they go through the whole list. It says, in the same way, all seven, that's a lot of boys, by the way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. I'm sure the prophet's getting worried at this point, thinking, I've somehow messed up here. Then Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? I would too. I'd be thinking, man, I didn't hear God correctly on this deal. They're still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats. Well, send for him at once, Samuel said. We're not going to sit down to eat until he arrives. By the way, that's a good way to get people motivated. They'll just tell them, we're not going to eat till you get this done. People generally do what you need them to do. There's some just good human stuff. There's some neat things here you guys got to plunk out and say, you know, that's neat. Yeah, we're not going to eat till you get him. Boy, somebody was flat, burning up some rubber. They didn't have that. Didn't have tires then. But anyway, you know what I mean. There was some dust flying from something because, you know, we're hungry. We're going to go get that boy. So Jesse sent for him. And here comes this dark, handsome kid with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, that's the one. Anoint him. And so David stood there among his brothers, and Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David right there with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on, and then Samuel returned to Ramah. Okay, what a beautiful, it's just neat. It's neat how it all came about. And now we'll get in so we don't keep you here all day. Let's jump into the text and look at this. And so we'll look at our outline here, and first we'll look at the tough path to godliness, okay? The tough path to godliness. We all want to be godly. We want to be, well, I know we do. We know our hearts. We want to be godly people. We want to be like this. We want to be someone the Lord would say, man, I'm going to anoint you. And the oil represented the Spirit, and that's why the Spirit came upon him. Today we don't worry so much about being anointed with the oil, except for healing and so forth. But the Spirit that's what it represented. So the Spirit comes, he's in us, and then he just fills us to overflowing. And that's what we pray for. God, fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, as the Scripture says, as rivers of living water. Same thing. But there's a tough path to godliness, and I want you to grab this because you may not have seen this before. Number one, you know, one of the things that David faced as a young man, and you see it here, but it's not, it's there on the page, but it's just not specified, so we have to pluck it out. Sadly enough, David was not the first choice of his family. And you look at this. Jesse presents all these other boys, and he is not about to mention his other son until Samuel presses him. And David, the young one, sent him out to the field, and for whatever reason, he was not in favor with his family like the rest of the sons. And some of you can instantly grab hold of this, and many people that will hear this, we have quite a few people that listen to this, and I want you to know, if you feel lonely and depressed, especially this time of year, you feel like you've just never been quite, even the black, you know, I've heard people refer around here, I'm just kind of the black sheep in my family. Well, you're in good company, because this man that God used so mightily started out, and he wasn't even the first choice of his family. And now let's get a real haymaker. He wasn't his dad's favorite either. So if anybody ever feels slighted from your home life, I want to tell you something. You've been struggling with that maybe all your life. Many people do. He wasn't his dad's favorite. He wasn't the first choice of his family. And still God chose him. Listen to me. He wasn't the first choice of his family, and he wasn't his dad's favorite, but he was the first choice of God, and he was God's favorite, and so are you. And don't you ever forget it. Don't you ever forget it. This is what made him like he was, and he knew it. They sent him out to be with the sheep and, you know, take care of the animals. And that's where when he was speaking to to Saul at one time. He said, I used to keep my father's sheep. And when, this is in chapter 17. You can just mark this down. And he told Saul, when a lion or bear came out and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it. It's like, this may not be the favorite kid of the family, but he's the toughest. Those other boys, maybe they were favored and a little spoiled. They weren't out there killing lions and bears. He said, man, a lion or bear comes, I go out after it and I strike it and I take the lamb out of its mouth. Can you believe that? You read this for yourself in 1 Samuel 17. And he said, and when it rose against me, so these some of these animals rose, you know, sure they would, but I mean, what? He didn't have a rifle. And I caught it by the beard and struck it and killed it. This is one tough little customer right here. He's salty. And that's probably why they kept him out there. He was just too tough for the rest of the family. Don't you see it? Here's a little warrior out there in the field that God's preparing for all this. Now let me come punching this right home, because God wants this done this way. That's why you've gone through your lions and tigers and bears. Really, it sounds like the Wizard of Oz, right? But that's why you have had to face calamities, disasters, traumas, losses, heartaches, pains, and sorrows and suffering in your life, so that you are prepared to face the enemy, the devil, and his servants when they come. Same thing. Every one of you have to face your lion and your bear. Whatever, you just face one. And so are the rest of you. You had COVID, you faced it. You had a loss, you've had an illness, you've had a surgery, you've had something that's just brought you close, scared you to death, whatever it is, you've been rejected by your family, you're in good company. And you say, why God? Why God? Why me? Why is this all? Why has this happened to me? The answer's right here in the book. It always is if you look for it. Because God has to prepare you for something bigger and mightier. There's people out here to save. That's why. There was a nation to save. And that boy had to be prepared. And he learned when something took the lamb, you know, most people said, lion, a bear, you can have it. Not him, buddy. He went after it, he caught it, and he beat the dickens out of it. If you hadn't beaten the dickens out of whatever's come after you, you wouldn't be here today. Just think about it. You faced it and you beat it back through the power of the living God. Don't you ever discredit God's power in your life. You're here, aren't you? You're alive, aren't you? Then you face that old bear and you face that lion. Whatever that is in life for you, you've hit it head on. Don't be mad at God because He allowed something to happen to you. Be grateful to God that He showed you how to whip it and grab it by the beard and knock that thing down. Death, illness, rejection, loss of a job, family member, divorce, whatever it is for you. God has let you go through that so you can help other people, so you can stand strong when testing comes for other folks and in your own life. So he was not the first choice of his family, and he wasn't his dad's favorite. See, we don't get this. You hear this stuff all the time. You've heard messages and messages on him, but then you start looking and look what happened here. Wasn't anybody's favorite there on earth? And I'll tell you something else. It doesn't seem to be his brother's favorite for sure. How do you know that? Later on, when they were out and the army of Israel was facing the Philistines, remember, and Goliath was down there? His brothers ridiculed him. They mocked him. You just need to read this whole thing. I just would love to read it because it's powerful stuff. But you read it. And this will help you. You just need to, please, follow. Go into this and say, God, even his brothers mocked him, made fun of him. I mean, he came from a family who didn't give a rip for him. And he doesn't seem to ever been close to his mother. There's no mention of any kind that his mother was involved in his life at all. We don't know that for sure, but no mention's made of her involvement with him. Strange. She wasn't there to take up for him in this. She wasn't there to say, hey, bring my... Look, you know, usually mom's not young, that younger one. Bring my baby. You get my baby up here, maybe he's... It wasn't nothing like that. So apparently, from all we can see, wasn't nothing in his family. Most people would go into depression or they'd get rebellious, hateful, right? Anybody ever been there because of this kind of thing in your life? Has it ever happened to you? And you're angry, and you live angry the rest of your life? Yeah, well, you know, you can be angry, or you can start being glad and trust God and say, you know what, you didn't let me go through this for nothing. My father, there's a psalm that says, if my father and mother leave me, the Lord will take me in. You need to keep that in your mind, and you look that one up. He didn't seem to have been close to anybody, and certainly not his mother. He, at this point, who did he have? He was out there alone. You ever been alone? You feel alone now? You're in good company because he was out there by himself. Did they come help him fight those tigers? I don't say tigers somewhere, but lions and bears? No, they did not. Now, I want you to look. This is kind of cruel. They didn't even have anybody out there to help him. You send your younger son off alone, your younger brother, you know, and you just leave him out. You don't know if he's killed or not. Now, this is pretty cold, but that's the way he had to grow up. He, listen to me, he had to learn to trust God the hard way on the job, like most of us. He didn't have somebody backing him up. And I want to tell you something. I was reading a Louis L'Amour Western, and you say, what's that got to do with this? You know, L'Amour, if you've never read his Westerns, there's more into his Westerns than just a story. For one, there's history. Every place he writes about where something happened, he's been there, and he talks and describes it in such detail, makes you want to go there. The second thing was, he was such a student of human nature. Such a powerful observer of what makes things work and doesn't work. And in his books, he's constantly talking about, you know, the making of a woman, the making of a man, and one of the things he's talking about this guy. And some people wanted to go with him to face some bad guys. And he said, no, I've got to go up in the mountains to do this, but I need to do it alone. And said, you're going to get killed. And he said, no, let me tell you. He said, a man alone is more alert. He trusts his senses. He pays attention to more things. He's not looking and being dependent on or watching out for somebody else. Now, listen to me. And I've thought about that. And it's like, that is so true. We all want company, and there's many times we need somebody really backing us up. But friends, if you ever wonder why God lets you fight some things alone, it's because He doesn't want you distracted, paying attention to somebody else. He wants you to learn to listen to Him and be discerning to His Holy Spirit. The same principle applies to fighting spiritual warfare, so that you are keen and sensitive and you don't miss anything and you're not trusting somebody else. And He made the point there, you know, through the character of the more that you lean on other people to watch for you, the less cautious you are, and that's when things happen. And sometimes we get too dependent on technology, other people, even the church, to watch out, our family, friends, to be there, to support us, to watch out for us. And what God's saying, I'm trying to make a godly woman here. I'm trying to make a godly man here. I'm trying to teach you to stand with just me. Just me. Just me. I am your strength and your salvation. I may not get past the first point on this one. Wow. There's some deep stuff here in this thing. I mean, this is something else. And so, he just like all of us, we had to trust God in the hard way on the job. It's you and him, you know, just David and God, you and God alone. So when God chose him as king, this doesn't end. God anoints him here. And when God anoints him, you'd think, well, okay, this is going to be better. Are you kidding me? Now listen. First, his family. Hi, come in. We're talking about David and how he grew up and all of his rejection. Not the first choice of the family, not his dad's favorite and all this stuff. Now, when he is anointed king, have you ever put this together and read this all through? When David is anointed as king, Saul takes him into the palace. But then Saul becomes jealous of him. And Saul's still king, even though David's anointed. Saul hasn't been replaced yet. Physically. So he becomes jealous and he tried to kill him throwing spears at him. This guy's life, when you look at it, you say, no wonder he was such a warrior. What else could he have been? He was intended by the Lord to be that. I mean, what would you turn out to be? God just worked it that way. that Saul tried to spear him to death, and then he takes off running. He tried to kill him in the desert, tried to kill him in the wilderness. Listen, this kid who's anointed king now lives, he had to live in caves, in the bushes, out in the brush, out in the wilderness. Whatever hole he could find, he crawled into because Saul was covering the countryside with his army. This guy's being pursued by an army. Now, I want to ask you something. Because we've all been there. You say, pursued by an army? It's what it felt like. You've been there, haven't you? And you've said to God, why is this happening to me? What did I do? Just like David. What did David do to Saul or anybody else? Nothing. Nothing. What did you do? And yet the enemy pursued you, and people have tried to take every one of us out all of our Christian lives because the devil has used people to try to hurt us. We've been abandoned. We have suffered. We've been abused. We've been criticized. We've been talked about. Friends, that is part of it, and I'm not minimizing it. If you think I haven't been in this job, those of you who know me for several years know I have not escaped criticism. I have been on the internet. Oh my Lord, I have been Facebooked. And I wish I could tell you it was pleasant, wonderful stuff, but I have to tell you it didn't go that way. And I want you to know, yes, have I been called just about every lousy thing? Yes, I've been accused of everything, called everything. If I have done all the things I've been accused of, I would wear a cape and fly over buildings. You know, it's unreal. But look at this guy. Here's David, anointed to be king, but Saul hasn't physically been replaced, and he's taken a whole army out chasing this one kid who's done nothing. Except in Paul's mind, Saul's mind, David is a threat to his throne, which he surely is. He's jealous because the Spirit had departed from Saul and God put the Spirit. See, in those days, you didn't have the Holy Spirit living in you. You can't have the Holy Spirit living in you unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. So he came upon people for specific times and periods of times to do stuff. So here's all this going on, and the Spirit departed. So now his family rejects him, and now Saul rejects him, and he's out to kill him. And I want to tell you this. Listen, you may not remember this, but David in those days went to the enemy of Israel, the Philistines, and asked if he could live there, and they didn't want him and sent him back. Do you know what most people would have done at this point? They would at least considered ending it. Seriously, this is at the point now with total rejection, and that's what David went through before he ever could become king. He's totally rejected his family, Saul, and he had one best friend, the son of Saul, and his name was Jonathan. And his only best friend that he ever had is killed. You want to talk about a tragedy? A walking, living tragedy of history. It's King David. Except he's just the boy David here, young David. His only best friend, Jonathan, is killed by the Philistines. Now I want to ask you something. Honestly, how many of you, really, how many people do you know that you think could have kept going with all this? They'd be taking medications? Now, I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying they'd be just all the time out on medications, drinking themselves to death. That's why people do stuff, because they can't. This is just too. Isn't this overwhelming? And you've been there, haven't you? But this guy didn't give up. You know why? He already faced the lion and the bear. And he watched God give him a strength to take those critters out. By rescuing, listen to me, get these insights. By rescuing a little lamb from the jaws of a lion, he was learning to rescue the little lambs of Israel from the jaws of the Philistines. So are you. So are you. That's what he was learning to do, and he didn't even know it. Taking that little lamb out was God teaching him, I'm going to let you take care of all my little lambs of Israel. And you're going to rescue them the same way. You're going to take the enemy by the beard and you're going to club him in the head. That's what you're called to do. That's what I'm called to do. So the Philistines didn't want him, and he has a best friend, Jonathan, and Jonathan's killed. Didn't you realize when you read about him, he never had another best friend the rest of his life? We're talking about the guy that Jesus Christ descended right there from that line, and this is how he started out his career. Sounds just like a bunch of you, doesn't it? A whole bunch of us. Sounds like my life, sounds like yours. Started out rough, stayed rough, and you fought it tough all your life. It's for a reason, friends. It's for a reason. You're not being punished. You're not being persecuted. God's called you to help His people, and to do that, you got to learn to get through it. You got to learn to take the enemy on and grab him by the beard and club him in the head through prayer, through the power of the living God. Oh, through the Word of God, holding that with your armor on, holding the Word of God like a sword. By the way, it doesn't end here. I don't want to go much further. We're all going to get depressed. Long after Jonathan, later on, he lost three children. You ever thought about that? He lost his first child that was born to Bathsheba when he made the big mistake with Bathsheba. He lost that child. And then he had a son, Amnon, who was killed by Absalom, and then Absalom was killed. So he has to go and lose three sons. You ever thought about that? This guy that we hold up as the champion, the warrior, whom Jesus Christ descended from this place. Now you look at what he went through to be who God wanted him to be. Friends, when you reach that crisis point in your life and you feel like, I can't go any further. I can't go another day. I can't get through this holiday period, all the memories, all the stuff, all the heartache, all the pain. Would you please grab hold of something and say, look what this guy went through. Look at the suffering and the hurt. And nobody ever talks about it. We just talk about Goliath and the stones and all the big things and the big battles. We don't talk about what it took to make that man able to do that. And now we're talking today what it's taken for you to be who you are. You had to go through the same kinds of things. Maybe not with the same, you know, intensity or the immensity of it. But for you, it was the same kind of just unbearable experience. And you may go through some more, but look at the end result. God is not finished with you yet. He is forming you into somebody to be His warrior to take on the enemy. To help other people and deliver them from the jaws of the lion. It's powerful stuff. Let me hit you. Yeah, one other point, okay? I'm not for sure we need to do that. I think maybe, you mind if I pick this up again? This is quite a bit. I did not know as this was coming together, it was going to get so intense. That's just the first point. And it's 22. So let me bring this around. There's a couple more points. We'll work it into another message next week as we develop this more, and we'll go back and reiterate some of this. I think maybe today I started, you know, because I don't want to finish them, and it's like, no. People are dealing with this. People are seeing issues in their lives. It brings them out for us, right? So for every person here, every person who'll hear this, those of you who've suffered all your life because you weren't the family favorite, your mom just didn't, your dad didn't, your brothers, sisters didn't, whatever it was, would you look in here and see that there was another who became a king and lived that same kind of life? Would you look and see that another lost his only best friend and he kept going? And he lost three sons and he kept going? He just couldn't stop. And next week, we're going to talk about some other things I wanted to get to today. Because of it, and I just need to say this because there's a part of this that needs to apply here. Yes, he kept going, but friends, there was one other thing. You read the Psalms, do you realize in the Psalms what David, as a result of all this crud, went through? David suffered depression. And you'll read some of those Psalms and he's just in despair. He's down in the pit. He had moments of great, terrible depression, agonizing struggles with his soul. He was human. He was a king. He was prepared to be king. He went through all this hell on earth to be king. But the effects of all this stuff stayed with him. And we'll talk about why he did what he did, how it made a place in his life, how God still used him. But friends, right now, just know this. You've had to face your lions and your bears. You'll face some more. Many of you have been rejected by somebody somewhere. You've been abandoned. Somebody's walked out of your life. Awful things have happened. You've lost your best friend. You've lost a child, family member, jobs, status, office, position, money, reputation. And you cry out to God. And it doesn't say here that he did that as a kid, but he was obviously a man after God's own heart. It means he cried out to God. Do you ever think out there as a kid in the night watching over everything? You ever think that that boy out there that they didn't come take very good care of, you ever think he cried out to God and said, I'm a little scared tonight. I'm lonely. There's a storm coming. I don't know where to go. I hear something and I can't figure out what it is. Friends, we hear those in our dreams. We hear those in our sleeps. Many of you are hearing things. You can't figure out what it is. Things seem to just get in your mind and it just drives you up the wall. Well, so did he. And that's why he became a man after God's own heart, because he'd cry out to God. He sought the Lord. He was so human, but he was so godly at the same time. And we're going to pick this up next week, but you just keep this in mind. He went through hell so he could give other people a taste of heaven. And that's exactly why you go through what you've gone through. And you keep pulling God's little lambs out of the jaws of the lion. And you might go through hell, but they need a taste of heaven. And you're the one called to give it to them. Father, take this word. Make it and keep it powerful in our lives. God, let us see the relevance of it, the significance, the impact. Change our lives through it. And everyone that feels lonely, feels abandoned, feels left out, God, draw them to this passage and others like it, and let them see that so was another who went through hell on earth so he could rescue a people, be used of God to rescue a people, to deliver them in hard times because he'd been through hard times. God, take that loneliness, that depression, that hurt and pain, that abandonment that so many feel right now, especially this time of year, and God, turn it to your glory. Give everyone hope. Give us all hope that it's not for naught. God, you're using it to your glory. You're molding us into spiritual warriors of God to do your will, to go and rescue people, your little lambs. Thank you, God. Bind the devil from us and free us and deliver God's people out there through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you for being here.